It goes back to Peterhead Prison, and we're all back in the same hall, and they're really on the ball. The guard, they're fucking terrified. They're really frightened. I don't mean they're terrified, but they're really at their wits' end,
Yeah.
because they know this is just the beginning, eh?
Just the beginning.
So anyway,
Holy shit.
so I'm like to Jim, my brother, and I went, I'm pretty sure I can get through the cell roof on the tap here. And the cell. And he went, "You think so?" And I went, "Yeah." I said, "Cause I've already dug through a couple of them." I said, "What it is, it's compressed granite chips. They're really compressed, and sometimes the roof's beveled, that kind of shape, the kind of wagon train shape, or a flat. But it's actually compressed granite chips, blocks, or wee chunks, all cemented together." So we've got a friend, a guy called Checker, big fella for Greenock, just outside Glasgow, but a good big fella, you know what I mean? So I picked his cell because his was the very last cell at the very top of the landing. So, but didn't he tell him what we were up to? So we got a couple of pals to get Checker taken down to another cell to play cards, poker, or whatever, just to keep him occupied, to give us time to bash through this massive ceiling and the A-hole. So I'm on my brother's shoulders. I've got this crowbar that's been stolen for the works again. I'm grafting through his wall. But we had a massive hole, but the hole came in the way like a cone. So we didn't have time to widen the full hole, you know what I mean? That was quite fucking hard work. And there's dust every fucking minute, and I'm blinded with dust, and fucking I'm like Casper the Ghost. I'm covered in all that fucking white cement and dust. So anyway, it's coming near lock up, and we're like, "Never, man." So we went, "Fuck it, we'll tidy the place up." So we'll wiped all the bars down. Anywhere there was dust, dust was every fucking where. We had to take all the guy's pictures and photographs down and put them in his locker so then when they get covered in dust. Then we've swept all this fucking, honestly, God, there's a couple hundred weight of granite chips under this guy's bed, and we've mopped all the floor. Done all the, whatever had to be dusted was dusted. So we're like, "Fuck it, we need another night on this. We just need one more fucking night, and we're out of here." So I've got newspapers, all newspapers wrapped up, and they've been dipped in glue and made of paper mache, and we've packed this hole, and some of the guys had record players in the prison, battery operated record players, and we had the LPs, and the sleeve inside an LP, the white sleeve.
Yeah.
So we've got this thing soaked in glue, and we've packed this fucking thing. And it looked quite good, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, fucking not a bad job. So anyway, we says, "Right, we need to go down and get Checker, because we need to fucking tell him." So I've got a hoodie about Checker, and he's come into the cell, and me and Jim's there. And he must have thought he was going to get harmed or something. And he went, "Is that okay, man? I fucking fine, Checker." I says, "Come in." So he sat down in the bed. He went, "What's up?" And I went, "Do you notice anything different about in here?" And he's like, "No." I mean, "Look at your ceiling." And he's looking at me, "I can't see fuck all, Johnny." So I've jumped up and I peeled his bit of paper back. And he's like, "What the fuck?" And I've tucked it back up again. I says, "Look, be fucking tidy by dash, mate. We've grafted through your ceiling. It's no work to it. We need another night. Do you think you could keep stoom?" He went, "Aye, fucking no problem." He went, "What?" He said, "What?" I said, "Look under your bed." And that's where all the rubble was. And he went, "What the fuck?" I mean, she said, "It's all right. We'll have out there in the morning." But the next day was shower day, which meant the whole jail got showered. It was communal shower room. Yeah, the whole jail got showered. And then the next that was on the Monday, and the Tuesday was communal shower day, and then the Wednesday was cell search day. So we've come in for our work on the Wednesday. And we bumped into a couple of guys, and he went, "Big Checker's been taken to the cell block." They found the fucking, they found the hole. So they took all the rubbish out. They would take all the rubbish out in sacks and taken it to the Burma Road, the football field, and dropped all the rubbish in the ditches, you know, with the rubbish that was lying under his bed. So how the fuck could it was a good, we had it done good, you know what I mean? How the, so somebody must have snitched. So anyway, and he's a lovely big guy, big checker, as I say, and a real nice, good big guy, man. Name Alice, you know what I mean? He's a big, friendly, easy-going guy that you could go on with anybody. So he's locked up in the punishment block. They've got check. I've dragged him away for a 10 task. We'll go check him in the punishing block. So we're back in the hall. We're like fucking demented again. Because they know it's us who's done it. So my brother Jim, he went, oh, he says, fuck, we can't let him lie down there, Johnny. I went, we fucking can't. I said, I've lived in there for years, Jim. I said, oh, he'll be there just shortly. Worry, we'll be fine. Jim went, nah. He said, we can't do that. He said, that's no nice. He said, fuck's sake. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, we'll draw straws. The fees will draw straws, and whoever gets the shortest straw can go down and put a horn up to it, put a hand up. And I was like, fucking, you know, what? Even if I would have got the shortest straw, I wouldn't have put my fucking, I disagreed there. I said, I need bother. So anyway, we drew the straws, and my brother Jim's got the short straw. So anyway, we've got these wee tubes, the cigar tubes. And you put your tobacco in and put all your stuff in and you pack them up your backside. And if you're going to the cell block, you've always got a smoke or you've got whatever else. So Jim's went down to the office at the bottom of the A hall where the guards are coming out. And Jim said, I'd like to see the head warden. And the guards were quite curious, you know what I mean? What's up? And he went, I'm going to tell the governor I want him, the head warden. So the governor, who by this time another governor called Alfie Smith, he comes out and he's like to Jim, yeah, Jim, can you help me? And Jim went, yeah. He says, I'd just like to bring your attention. He says, you've got the wrong guy in for attempting a jailbreak. He says, that was me done that, governor. He says, and I'd just like the guy to be brought back into normal circulation. Because they had the guy done as a maximum security prisoner by this time, and then actually battered fuck out of him as well. And he was waiting on a VC coming to put him into further punishment. So, and the schools all kind of respected Jim for that, you know, and they really did, you know what I mean? I thought, yeah, well, fucking, you know, some people are not as fucking bad as they seem. You can see a different side. And Big Alfie Smith, the governor, says to Jim at the orderly room, says, right, Jim, I'm going to trade Checker for you. He says, so he's getting released for the punishment block because you're now telling me that he's used his cell without him even knowing that he's got him set up to play cards in a cell. Jim said, that's right. And he went, well, he says, there's no many like you, Jim, in these extreme conditions. He says, you're a rarity. He says, but you know, that was that bastard Johnny boy that done it, and it should be fucking him it should be doing here. He said, but if you're taking a rap for it, then I'll be it. So they let Big Checker out, and of course Jim done the 14 days fucking solitary confinement. But that was the way we were living. We were living like fucking animals. And you know, and to be penned up like that, you know, it's no nice at any given time. You know what I mean? Even you're on the run, you're fucking still penned up and it's no nice. You know what I mean? So, and all we could ever really think about was, I could think about fucking escape and fucking murder and mayhem. I was never happy unless I was causing trouble. You know, could I fill the gap in your life? You know what I mean? Because it's a bare existence being a prisoner. I mean, a really bare existence and very extreme conditions. And the only way I could get through the sentence was causing trouble. I became alive. I felt like, ee-haw! And I was super fit. I was one of the skinniest guys in the neck. I was like a fucking circus act. My ma says I should have been in a circus. She says, oh, I see you as fucking swinging through drain pipes and run pipes and bridges. She says, you'd have done great in the circus, Johnny. And she was right. But And that's the way life became, and we kept on trying to escape. And I'll give you another example. I'd cut the bars again. I'd managed to get my pal to cut my bars while I was walking in the hall. Because if I was seen to be disappearing for too long, they would come looking for me and each of the cells, you know what I mean? So we finally got the bars done, and me, Jim again, and a couple of other guys. So it's not really a case of fucking dink, dink, donk. It's all almost, they're all just lying ready to go and get these things out. So I'm doing to another prisoner, a guy called John Gallagher, who did a life sentence for murdering the butcher in the Glasgow Gallagate. And I says to Big John, who was a friend of the family, I says, can you do me a favour? Will you look after my photographs? Because you had to get rid of your stuff, because if the screws ever got it, they would fucking destroy it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So it was always good to get away. And I said, okay, Johnny. So I'm in giving this fella, I'm just giving him my photographs, and this guy's came to the cell door and says, Johnny boy, he says, the screws just came out of your cell and shut the door over. I mean, what do you mean shut it over? He says, actually fucking lock the door. We don't, you don't do that unless somebody's in it. I went, never, man, you fucking have. I went, who? And he went, I'm up there. This fucking, this evil bastard, this screw, you know, his name is Tommy McGurham. His real name is Tommy McGurham, but his nickname was the Fairy Queen, right? And I went, really? So anyway, all the guys know fucking something's going down. So every cunt's fucking, they're all looking at me, all the cons are all saying, fuck, the fuck's going to happen now? So the screw went away down to the PO, principal officer, down at the bottom where all the screws had congregated, and he was seen to be whispering to this old guard, and the old guard was, look, we were not really old, but the guard was overheard saying, don't fucking go near him, leave it to lock up, we'll be locked up in 15-20 minutes, just fucking leave him and we'll deal with him then, do not approach him. And then he's walked away. So I'm walking up, there's two sets of stairs in each hall, you know, one taking you up that way, one taking this side of the hall. And so I walk up and I'm walking by your gym. And Jim went, you okay? And I went, my fuck. And I said, I'll catch you some other time, bruh. I said, just keep it up. So I walked the line, I've lifted my spy hole at my door. And I'm looking, there's no bars there. It's cunts took your bars out, this screw. And I went, never, man, fucking hell. So I put the spiral down and went to walk round the wing. I didn't know what I was going to do. I walked round the gallery because my head was fucking a horror place. And he's grabbed me like that. He went, come down the stairs with me a minute. I went, right, down the stairs with you, you fucking snitch. So I've cracked this cunt. And he's fell in the stairs. And I'm trying to kick him. And he's got my leg. And he's a strong bastard. He's trying to get back up. But he's ripped it. I hear a riot bell going by this time. He's ripped my jail shirt off, the striped shirts you get. The jail striped shirt. He's told this fucking shirt. I'm a wiry wee guy, yeah. So anyway, he's trying to hold me. They're all running up the stairs now. The riot bell's going and all the cell doors are slamming because the screws are quick on the ball when there's trouble in the hall. Everybody's, they're already all tutored, didn't they? They all know what to do next. They're all slamming as many. They don't care how many people are in the cell as long as they can close the door to get everybody locked up so they can try and control whoever's left out there. So anyway, I see my brother coming along. Jim's got a brush pole. I see him fucking, he's decking screws with us. He's decking the guards with us, hitting guards with this brush pole. And another pal, Big Tam Patterson, he's got the toaster for the cooker. Because each hall had a cooker for the prisoners to make toast or whatever. I see him with he's bashing the screws with this toaster. And another fella called Jimmy Burns, I don't know what he's got, but we're all fighting anyway. So on the landing, I'm fighting with the screws. There's a hot plate, and there's 50 cells on the top flat, and there's 50 cells on the landing I'm on. So there's 100 cells between me and this hot plate, which means 100 steel bowls and 100 steel trays. So I'm up top of the hot plate, and I'm picking as I'm trying to pick off as many. I'm fucking flinging indiscriminately. I ain't even hot your yummy one by accident. I'm up top of the hot plate, fucking flinging these steel bowls, and so they couldn't get to me. And this old guy Tommy Task Force comes up and he went, "Hold it, fucking hold it." So they've got Jim in the deck and they've got the other boy, Tam Patterson and Jimmy Burns. So the screws have all got them, but I'm on top of this hot plate with these steel trays. And this screw, Tommy Task Force, says, "Hold it, fucking hold it, Johnny boy. There'll be no repercussions, there'll be no brutality. Just let me take you down to the cell block. The damage is fucking done. You're not going anywhere. You've had another dash and it's failed. So just fucking calm down. Put the steel trays and the bowls down." So anyway, that was the only solution, because I couldn't have stayed up there fucking much longer if it getting clubbed down. So I held myself into him. He took me cell into the cell block with nearer screws there. So I gave him a bit of credit for being honest in that way, but they were just desperate to get me back then. So Jim and the other boys, they end up in solid confinement for 6 months, and I get sent back to the cages. The governor said in the cages, he said, "What the fuck's happening here, man?" He said, "What are you here for now?" And I went, "Fuck all, nothing." "Oh, you don't get sent here for nothing. You must have tried to escape." And I went, get yourself to fuck. So anyway, he's like to me, he says, "Right, meal times," he says, "What would you like for your dinner? Would you like lamb chops or fish?" And I went, "Lamb chops." I said, "Yeah, you're having a fucking laugh." He went, no. I said, "No, honestly, I've never seen a fucking lamb chop in any prison I've ever been in. And I was never a great eat meat. I wasn't a great meat eater. I couldn't swallow meat for some reason in my life. I could chew it, but then spit it out." So anyway, they go, come round and to prove to me that they weren't making a fool of me, they just fucking... these lamb chops in this big old plate. This is in the cages, and there's big fish that probably caught in Inverness, fresh for the sea. So I mean, "I'll take you chops, grass body the chop bones," and they're good for digging through the woods with the old chop bones. You know what I mean? I said, I'll have you chop bones, and he's like, "Aye." He said, before you would have liked him. So I kept some of the chop bones. I put them down my wee loincloth. I only had a wee loincloth and a pair of homemade slippers on, made out of a blanket. And they started using the chop bones but they found where I was digging, and then he was like, a couple of days later, "You want fish and chops?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm gonna chops again." There was no bones with them this time, eh? But anyway, I goes back to fucking Peterhead prison. We hear this much. I goes back to Peterhead prison. And the guys are all cheering, "Oh, we're on the punishment block again. Oh, I'm fucking glad to have you back." You know, and the place is all covered in shite. And we're on the dirty protest. And the trick was, not just to keep it smeared on your cell walls, it was to take it outside and fucking scud them, you know what I mean? So when they opened the cell door, they would bolt. They would be hiding out the road, because we would come out and we'd lob the shit bombs high up onto the ceilings, or high up or into the keyholes. Dink right into the keyholes where they had the... and on the handle of the doors. And so anyway, somebody says to me, "You want any old papers I like to read, Johnny? When you have a paper?" I said, "I've not fucking seen a paper for long enough." So I'm looking at this fucking this newspaper article, and there's this, I know it was a cow or a sheep with fucking two heads and 15 legs, and it was a different colour. And I went, "What the fuck's this?" And they're on about a Chernobyl disaster. Yeah. And all the animals are all contaminated. Oh, the fuckers are giving me the lamb chop. That's what they're giving me, the fucking lamb chops. Probably to see what happened. I went, "You fuckers, man." I said, "That's what I've been eating, contaminated fucking meat." Because it was all over Europe, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there was a massive story about it all the world, how plants were fucking growing 10 times their size, and cows were all fucking different shapes and sizes, and everything that was natural to us became unnatural. And that's what they've done, Sean. They're fucking feeding me on contaminated chops, the bastard.
So my mind's still trying to process all of this. It's like elements of Shawshank, elements of Escape from Alcatraz. I mean, it's just a massive action-packed story you've got here. One of the things that you touched on earlier was that your escapes were motivated by guard brutality. Can you describe like what some of the worst situations the guards did to you were?
Well, I've seen me in body belts being kicked about a cell there, and the only bit me was your tongue. I've seen me in body belts, and I was quite clever at getting away from body belts. I had a key. I made a key actually, put it inside a Parker pen, because the key in the inside of a Parker pen is exactly the same size a key that the guards use for the handcuffs. The only difference is it's got a wee notch on it. So you make two notches, one bigger than the other, and I had this key, and I had it up there for years. I could
For years.
I could eat. I had it with me everywhere I went, until such time they stopped putting handcuffs on me, because they thought I was that much of a genius that they wouldn't put handcuffs on me. I could have kept taking them off. So I made this key for the inside of a Parker pen, used a razor blade to cut it and shape it, you know. And so they end up, they wouldn't put handcuffs on me, because I would take the handcuffs off and use them for digging through the walls. But they couldn't fucking work out how I was getting them off. They just thought I was some sort of genius. Or else they'd have me handcuffed out in the pens, out in the punishment block. There's free pens for individual prisoners to exercise. Maybe one of the pens is the size of this room, maybe one a wee bit bigger, maybe one the same size again. But there's a catwalk, and the guard walks up and round, so he can see into all three pens. He's looking above you like something out of fucking something out of the Dark Ages. Anyway, they've got me in handcuffs. I've already took the handcuffs off, so they've put them back on me and locked them. And I've took the key out, and I've unlocked it, and I've took them off, and I've tossed them right over the roof that we rioted on, and into the exercise yard when all the prisoners were out doing their exercise, and I could hear them all cheering and shouting, "John, a boy!" So they all thought I was some sort of an escape artist, but wasn't it? You just have to be clever and be desperate. Do you know what I mean? And you combine the two things together, and you can get results. You know what I mean? But then, I had to keep going, and I was always looking for fucking trouble. Always looking for ways out. I always looking to dig somewhere. I had to keep myself going. And then my brother Joseph got done for the ice cream wars, him and T.C. Campbell, around about 1984. And I've spent about fucking 4 or 5, 6 years or something, best time, 4 or 5 years, best time in solitary. And the only time I'm out is fucking when I'm breaking out of solitary, or breaking through cell doors and whatever. And Joseph and T.C. Campbell, the guy who was done for the aiding and abetting the
The
jailbreak.
guards, yeah.
So Tommy and Joe's done for a murder of 6 members of one family, which
What?
was caused in a it was caused by a fire in a stairwell, a common stairwell, where somebody lit set a cupboard on fire. And I don't know if it was tires or something in the cupboard, but it wiped out 6 members of this poor family, kids and everything. So I'm in the cell block at this time, me and Jim. I'm fucking never, man, fucking never, never. Horror stories are never going to fucking end. Then my mother's up, but my dad's dead at this time. He's passed away. He's done his own escape up the road or down the road, wherever the fucking went, hell. So I'm like, never, man. My mother's fucking, because she's demented with us, the way we're living, and she's demented with what's happening with Joseph. And it's the biggest mass murder in modern times. When Joseph and Tommy get done, and later proved to be fucking fitted up with the same serious crime squad that wanted us to fit the coppers up in Bulani prison. It was the exact same mob that fitted him up, so I don't know what was payback time for him. But anyway, I went down to visit Joseph. I went down to visit your Joe, and we've got a visit together. I'm Andy Gallagher, the governor slasher. He's let us have a wee talk. Because I'm trying to console little Joseph, because Joseph's younger than me, but he was never really like us in that sense. Joe was a do man. Joe was into his pigeons all his life, and was just probably a wee bit of gang fighting here and there, but nothing too serious. So when I'm doing, see, I'm up in the cages by this time again. They've got me back to the cages again. So I'm going to Bulinney. I'm doing as a witness for a friend of mine, a guy called Mark Louie, who broke a guard's nose. even though I wasn't there, I was still his fucking character witness. He said to me he's a witness. They said he wasn't that type of guy. And the screws were telling lies. So when I'm doing in Bellini, Andy Gallagher let me go and see Joseph. And then he also says to me, does your mother know you're here? And I went, nah, my mother doesn't know I'm here. I said, I'm just doing for the cages, nevertheless, for a witness. He said, well, I can guarantee, he says, if your mother comes down to visit you tonight, she'll get in. I went, my mother doesn't even know I'm here. He went, we'll see what happens. And then we were getting to talk to her, Joe, and Joseph managed to get me a couple of the old steel Gillette razor blades. You know, the old Gillette ones, the old bands of way back in the day.
Gillette, the best a man can get.
Best a man can get. So I've got them, and I've got them packed, and I've got them in the wee tube, and I've banjoed them up the ass, right? And I've had a talk with Joe, and I'm trying to console him, do you know what I mean? He's in fucking tatters, you know what I mean? He's that fucking old, Johnny. That fucking never happened to anybody like my life. I said, well, Joe, there's fuck all we can do about it. Now, the only thing we can do is try and escape, mate. He says, that's the only thing we can fucking do, and take the case to the outside world. Take the case back to them. You know, take the fight back to them. So anyway, I goes back to the cages, and I've got the razor blade. I'm up there with another guy, a guy called Bill Vary. He's an Australian, and Big Bill was up there. I think Bill was in a 20-year. So I've got a bit of hacksaw blade and a couple of razor blades. But a hacksaw blade isn't for metal. It's for woodwork. But nevertheless, it's still a bit of blade. So when I was in the cages, your cages, it's just a set of bars, like an American style type jailer. Bars split. Bars probably about an inch in diameter, each bar. And then you've got the beam, you know, maybe a couple inches thick. And the cage door can only open in American style again, for a big sliding bolt outside in the corridor, but the screws can only get access to it. So I've got this razor blade, and it's the same applies in the cage. You're not allowed nothing in your cage. You're not even allowed a comb. You're not allowed a toothbrush. But the strange thing is, Sean, on the outside of your cage, on the wall, head level, you're standing in your cage, you're looking at it, there's a mirror. And so every time you're looking at a mirror, all you see is yourself behind bars. And a kind of psychological effect. I always thought there was a fucking camera hidden behind it, you know. So you're not allowed to shave in your cage. You're not allowed to have a toothbrush. You're not even allowed a comb in case you use a weapon. So I've got the... And your toilet's outside. Your toilet cubicle's outside. Just a wee half a door where the screws can see in. And of course, you've got a piss pot. And so... I managed to unscrew a brass screw nail for the back of the piano hinge on the back of the toilet door. Screwed this probably an inch or 2 inch, this big thick screw nail. And I put the razor blade back out to the sink as if I'd been just cleaning up. And I've got this screw nail. So I managed to get it into my cage. And I've got the razor blade out one weekend when the screws are away for a longer period. So in the cage there's a steel table and chair. So I'm looking at the bars, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to have a fucking dash to cut through these bars. So I put the razor blade on the edge of the table, right, just on the very edge of the table, and started striking it repeatedly with a brass screw nail, and kept turning it over and striking so that it became serrated, you know, like a cutting blade. And that's how I sawed through the bars up in the cages. But every time you can only do it when you feel the bite, and it slid, and that's when you knew you had to take it back out again and repeat it, strike it repeatedly again to get this teeth effect back there. So I've cut through the whole fucking bar, and this other guy, he's got a razor blade, and plus he's got that other bar blade. But I've got one of my bars cut, and I'm thinking, I've cut it at an angle because I'm going to use it for grafting through the wall so we can get out and get away. So I've only cut one side of the bar because I'm thinking, I'll bend this back and forward. Fucking, what a mistake I made, man. I swear to God, man, I was a fucking 2-pin. I had to put my feet on the bars and bend this thing to roll it back. I had to put my back against it and my feet, my hands, and push it back. Then it was bent back out. I just stood on the bar and put a towel on it and jump, ding, and then go underneath it and push it back up again. And it seemed like it came off, it made one hell of a pop. It was as if somebody hit the bars with a hammer, and I went, what the fuck? I must have heard it a whole deal. So anyway, they've caught us. I'm outside the cage and I've got that mirror off. That's the first thing I went for. I shall fucking check this out right now. And there was nothing behind the mirror. But that's how I saw through the bars and the screws couldn't believe it. And they said the bars were uncuttable. So that was where life went. That's how I lived. And that kept me sane. Do you know what I mean? Even though it made me no gone somewhere, I was just grafting through one into another fucking empty cell. It just didn't matter. It was just the sheer hell of getting there and doing that. So anyway, I'm in the cages for the sixth time, and you're only meant to be there three times because that is the last resort. And they say the next step's at the mental hospital. And my brother Jim says to me, he says, you need to watch, Johnny. And quite a lot of people say to me, you really need to fucking watch, mate. You know, these cunts will put you in a nut house. I've never seen nothing like you. They don't know what to fucking do with you. See, you climb out your fucking pens and fucking out your cell doors during the night and fucking through bars and tunnels and fucking ceilings. See, they cunts never seen anything like you, Johnny. And so you hear people talking like that set a wee bit of fear in you. You had an idea that would be the only way they could fucking really get rid of me and shut me up if they put me in a mental hospital. Because it used to say to me at times, you know, you're going to end up in a fucking mental hospital. And I would say, yeah, you know what, I'll just fucking escape with the fucking patients. I'll just take them anyway and we'll just fucking run them up. I don't give a fuck. But I did give a fuck. I was frightened, you know what I mean, to think that could possibly happen in my life, you know, especially when I wasn't mentally ill. Which I fucking hope, wasn't it? So anyway, I'm in the cages for the sixth time, and the governor there, a guy called Mr. Ben, he says, you've been here 6 months, Johnny. He said, and you're still not letting up. He said, you're fucking sawing bars, you're digging through cell walls with chop bones, you're fucking sawing bars with razor blades. He says, this isn't the end to your fucking talent. He says, we don't know what to do with you. You're not going back to Peary prison, don't want you. He said, no, can't want you. No jail in Scotland, they want nothing to do with you. And I was like, I said, well, I don't fucking know. What do you think you're going to do with me? It doesn't matter the fuck where I go, I'll still carry on. He said, well, need to go and eat this up because you're going to end up in a mental hospital. He said, but you're definitely not going back to Peary prison. He says, that's a no-no. And, but Jim, Joseph had been sentenced by this time. I go back to Peterhead, sorry, for the last time, and Jim he meets me with the governor. The governor says, I'm going to have a visit with your brother Jim, because Joseph had been sentenced to life. And so Joseph was going to Perth Prison, which was a penitentiary. It's the only penitentiary in Scotland, the old Perth Prison, that still exists and still runs to this day. Jim's going to go to Perth. We're splitting his up. And he says, I said, well, what, my brother Joseph? He says, Jim, he says, they're going away. He says, because we've got it for the Secretary of State for Scotland that use free will never be allowed in any one prison at any one time. He says, so they two are gone and you're staying. Till I went to the cages, just after they caught me back at my cell door during the night, me and another wee fella, a guy called Peter Wardlaw. The thing about the cell doors was, They sell doors back to Peary Prison. They dig up, like so. But I get told it was for putting medicine under many years ago. But then a guy says, no, that's when they used to put the hammocks under the bed. They kept your hammock outside your bed, so they had this gap under the cell door. And each cell door had, well, security prisoners, we were category prisoners. They had bolts, big steel bolts on your door. But if you stood inside my cell and shut the door over, I could see where the bolts had been rammed home. I could see the gap. So I managed to steal a screws, one of the guards' steel forks, an eating utensil. And we'd done a trial run during the recreation period. My pal held the lockdown and pulled the door over. And I put the steel fork through the gap in the door to the two prongs opened. The bolt to the two prongs came into contact with the bolt, and I turned it, and I pulled it out, and I put it down, and I turned it, and I pulled it to the side, and I've got the two fucking bolts out, so I know we can do it.
Christ.
So, and I've also got a crowbar. The bolts. I thought the bolts were the hardest thing to do because we've got to graft through, we've got to take the low calf, and you can't take the low calf because the lock's on the outside of the door. You can only take the big steel plate. You've got a thick steel plate with a big brass, twin brass tongue that slots into it. I mean, this other fella, a guy called Peter Wardlaw, he's nicknamed the Bald Eagle. He was a kind of Scottish freedom fighter, and they get done on about the same time we get done for the escape from Blenny. They get caught with firearms and fucking bombs, and you know they were wanting to fucking blast pipes away up and down the Scottish pipes for Scotland to England. They were, you know, want freedom for Scotland, that sort of thing. So me and him decide, like, we'll have a fucking dash. So I know I can get my bolts open. And he knows he can his bolts open. So he's no got the fork that I've got. He's used it some other sort of utensil and he was kind of stuck. So I've got the crowbar that we got for the works and took the whole back plate off after quite some time. So and my brother and all my pals, they're all playing music underneath their doors. They're putting their radios down a bit so that to drown the noise there. Because we're on the third flat and the screws and a desk away down in the bottom flat. So anyway, I've blocked the spy. Well, I've made a dummy and put it on my bed. Just a wee bit of hair and a bit of blanket that could always come in to check because we were security prisoners. And I've blocked the two spy holes up while I was grafting in case one of the guards came and saw what I was up to. So anyway, I've got this fucking door open. And all of the sawdust is all underneath the door, but I've swept it all inside and under my bed, and I've popped the two bolts back. And it just looks as if there's nothing wrong, because you can't see the damage to the lock, because there's a bit of the lock's on the inside. So I'm going to the gallery, and I'm saying, truly to my brother, I'm fucking chapping the doors all the way I lag. And I was like, wee Peter Wardlaw, the Bald Eagles. And I went, what's happening? He went, I fucking can't get out, Johnny. I can't get it. I'm fucking stuck. Just go and get your fucking cell away. And I went, oh, fuck, I'll fucking get rid of this again. I'll help you. So I'm getting his bolts, but he jammed these fucking bolts with all the pressure that he'd been put on them. We used them ever truly used. So anyway, I've got these bolts on, and I went, well, let's go. So we're going up the stairs. We've got to go to the top tier because we've got a bar spreader for spreading the big arch windows. So we're up there, and we've got this on, and we're just about to spread the bars, and this guy presses his doorbell, and it alerts the screws down the stair. So we're fucking like, never mind. So we've got to run along, hiding the archway, a dark archway. Yeah. And we hear the screws coming up, and they're at this fella's door, and he's like, right, see what's up? And he went, I need my tablets. He went, you've already been getting your tablet. This guy was on warfarin tablets because he needed it to thin his blood. The guy called Shug Restreet, for Edinburgh, Big Shoe Restreet. So we couldn't go to his door and say, stop fucking pressing your door. Could we couldn't tell anybody we were out there at fucking 10 o'clock at night. Whole jail's all locked up. So, and each time we went back, this bastard was kicking his door. And he's shouting under the door, you fucking arsehole, I want my medication. So anyway, they've come up, and by this time, a good hour's went by with this fucking fruitcake fucking crashing in the door. And the shift's changing. So the shift that's on, they're now swapping over. And so when this shift comes in, their first priority is to check all the category of prisoners, the maximum security prisoners. So I'm in this archway, and I can see my cell door down there on the third flat, and I'm at the top. And I looked down, I went, never, man. I said, fucking no way. And the screw's shouting through the spy hole, clear that spy hole, Steel. Come on, get up away from the spy hole till I see you. And I went, never, Peter, man, I fucking forgot to take the fucking paper down. And if I took the paper down, he would have seen what he thought was me. I went, never fucking hell. So he's radioed in. he's radioed in for the other guards to come, thinking this comes up to something. So they're all coming lying. I'm watching them in his dark archway. I'm in the dark archway. I'm watching them, and he's like, right, I'll fucking sort him out. So he's pulled the two bolts back and went like to go with his key to open the door. The fucking door swung open a wee bit. And I went like, what the fuck? So they pulled the door back over. And they're whispering amongst each other. And I went to Peter. I said, fucking all over now, man. I went, oh, you cunt. So I've looked up and they've seen me. I had a big crowbar, fucking tossed it down and bounced it off the railings. And it's spinning and it's cracking after the con. We're talking about fucking back at 10, 11 o'clock at night this time. And all the cons are all cheering. Oh, me, Peter Wardlaw. So after that, he's a bit like cages. Never come back. Now I'm allowed in this deal. Yeah. And while I was in the cages, they went, we're going to need to try and do something, Johnny. It's fucking, we're going to try and fucking, but they can't want you. There's no prison going to accept yourself. I've been in touch with Edinburgh, the prison Sockton governor in Edinburgh, and I've asked him to give me some of his worst prisoners, and if he'll take you, and he's like, no fucking, I don't want him here. So anyway, there's a place in Bellini prison, quite a place it was, the Bellini special unit, which is segregated for the rest of the jail. It's just like a punishment block within, it's much like the Peterhead punishment block, exact same amount of cells almost, the same sort of setup. And it's segregated, it's got the same big ward in it. And a psychiatrist came to see me, five or six guards came to see me who told me they were for the Bellini special unit. And a psychologist came to see me, and they went, well, you know, you're in a fucking serious bit of trouble here, Johnny. You know, they were decent, you know, they spoke to me, in the cage, they took me out and they sat across the desk, just talking away. Said, you realise how much trouble you're in here, don't you? And, you know, and it's getting to the stage now that the Secretary of State's wanting something done. And he doesn't care what's getting done, he needs you to the system. They've never seen nothing like it. And he went, so we're running a place to know, Johnny. He says, and we'd like you to be part of it because we think you would benefit with that. And I went, yeah, well, what would that be? Say, the Bellini special unit. And I went, hey, I ain't no fucking, they called it a nutcracker suite. I said, I ain't fucking no nutcracker. So you might fucking try and get yourself in it, man, get yourself sorted out before you fucking think about worrying about me. Fucking, you're running the fucking jail. You've got to need the help, no fucking me. And he said, well, we think you could benefit with it, Johnny. He says, and it all runs on trust. The place runs on trust. You know, you get your visitors and your family can come and visit you, and they can visit in your cell, you know, in your actual prison cell. Everybody got to go on with everybody. There's no more than any given time. There was like eight people there. So it was small numbers we were dealing with. And this place had people from all over the world come to it, Sean. You're talking fucking governors from West Germany, Canada, America. In fact, we had one of the top psychiatrists from America come here. And he was off for fucking here. That's country for budging. He was off to hang them and flog them. You know, you're American kids, you're like, you've got your scope. You've got your fucking room for scope here. You just can't fucking a lot of people away and not even try and offer any fucking help. You know what I mean? You end up needing fucking help yourself. So anyway, they gave me the rundown on it. He says, well, you can escape for whatever you want, Johnny. He says, but I'm hoping for what you see down here and what you see and what we can hope you expect to get out of this, that'll be your escape. He says, because you're quite a talented guy. He says, we know you're singing your songwriting and you're doing a lot of writing verse. He says, but we're hoping that we can take you and put you into this environment. He said, the only fucking thing is, how do we take you for here? Can't you take you for your cage and put you into a living room? He says, because it's just going to be like under house arrest, he says. And the way you've been living, he says, your head's got to be fucked up because you're going to be severely fucking institutionalised. Because you're the most punished and most disruptive prisoner that I've ever fucking, and your record's fucking hard. We laugh when you see you, how the fuck can that be one man's record? So that was a kind of attitude towards me. He said, would you like to put this life behind you and let us take you on board and see if we can get in to help you. And I went, well, who's all there? And he went, well, it's guys that you know. He said, that cunt that murdered the midget. He's in
maniac.
There.
Maniac was in there. Oh, man.
He said, Cokie's there.
I wondered what happened to the maniac.
I'll tell you what happened to the maniac. Oh, Cokie's there. Cokie's there and wee Bobby Brody's there, that the fella that was fighting with the governor, slashed the governor, and he slashed him and whatever. Donald Ford was there. Old Donald's an old fella, but he actually survived death row. Old Donald, he got hung back in the 50s, sentenced to death back in the 50s, and he got a reprieve because some of the old crew, the old mafia crew, had set up a prostitute to get in touch with him in death row, and they arranged a wedding, and so he got married to her. And only because he got married that he got the reprieve. I mean, it was a master stroke, you know. So anyway, I said, well, okay, I'll have a dash, man. Fuck it. Nothing else to lose. And so they're taking me away. I'm sitting in the back of this. I'm expecting a heavy-duty escort with all the guards. He went, jump in the back of that fucking, jump in there. I went anywhere, and he went, in the fucking back seat of that motor. I went, whose motor is it? He said, it's my own motor. He said, just jump in the back. He said, you're fucking killed. Worry about nothing. I'm panicked. He said, everything's fine. That fucking paddle was ripping out of me. I didn't know I was in a nut house fucking. I'm saying, am I in the fucking nut house? Is this really happening? And he's like, no, you'll be fine. He said, honestly, I just want you to relax. And they drove her away from Inverness to Ballinny with me sitting in the back seat of the car with a couple of three other screws and the motor right now. But I wasn't handcuffed or nothing, you know. So he's like, right, just relax, Johnny. And I'm thinking, Blenny, I'm thinking, oh, these fuckers, man, I'm going to get killed. But the Blenny special unit hit the Zane governor, hit the Zane staff. So the staff in Blenny, the guards in Blenny prison and the governors and the mainstream in Blenny prison, couldn't you just come into the Blenny special unit the foot written permission? What that one? So they needed written permission to get into there and you see us. Yeah. And I'm not bullshitting you. They didn't really need fucking written permission. Just as much as none of the screws and any of the guards that was in the Blenny special unit or in the governor couldn't just waltz into. Those are two separate jails with two entirely different sets of rules. You know, fucking one was most extreme and one was most humane. And when I walked in there, you know, I'm going through the big fucking gates and I thought, no, because it's always a memory to haunt you going through a prison gate. And you never know if it's the last time it's ever going to happen, but it just seems to haunt you. So anyway, I walked into the Blenny special unit and all the boys and the guys that I knew back in the day, back in the punishment block, back in the cage, the last time I seen we were all covered in shit, all fighting with screws and fucking writing and, you know, the usual. And they're all there, and they've all got their own clothing on, and they're all well tanned, and fucking, I'm like, what the fuck's happening? They all look so healthy. And that was kind of hard to take in, and it was fucking frightening, because I really didn't know if I was back in the cages fucking hallucinating. I didn't know what the fuck was going on in my life. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And Cokie's like, just fucking Johnny, honest mate, it's fucking, just calm down, you'll be fine. And I'm like, what the fuck, who's that? And he went, I see that big stone face for Peter Heed, one of the girls, and I went, that bastard, is he in here? I'm going to attack that cunt. And Cokie went, Johnny, he's not the guy you think he is. You see, we used to call him the biggest dog in the fucking jail. He's never put a prisoner on the port in his life. I went, really? You know, fuck you. He's just got one of the faces you love to hate. And you start to imagine he's the worst screw. And Cokie says, he's actually fucking a big gentleman. And I thought that it was fucking true. They really were, you know what I mean? Because they get a chance to be themselves. You couldn't be a jail guard in that particular special unit. You wouldn't have survived. You'd have voted out the door. And I'm not kidding you on. If anything went wrong in that unit, if you were upset, say fucking I ate your steak pie or something, or used the washing machine too many times for your lightning, and somebody would call a special meeting to defuse a situation. Do you know what I mean? So that's how they dealt with things in special. If somebody was unhappy, rather than let it fester, you know, and build up to such times that people fucking explode, it had to be dealt with there then, and you had to attend the meetings. So anyway, when I arrived there, and the school said to me, "Do you want me to go and get your mother?" And I'm like, "I fucking don't believe us. I'm just at fucking cages." And he said, "Do you want me to go and get your mother, Johnny?" And I went, "You get my mother?" And he went, "I'll go and get your mother." I went, "You want to go and get her?" He said, give me the address and I'll go and pick her up and bring her down. And that's exactly what it done. They broke my wee man. She was no well at the time. She'd went for a hysterectomy. So she was quite no well, and Joseph no longer was in his fucking life, and of course my dad's dead, and me and Jim still fucking managing the fucking prison system. So it turned out that I was like being under house arrest. It was like being in an old tenement building. And my ma used to come up and say, I'm gonna make a pot of soup, Johnny. Does anybody want some?" And my ma make a big pot of soup and just shout up to the gallery, "That's a soup ready if anybody's interested." And mince and potatoes or steak pies or stew. And that's why people lived in there. That was like just been under house arrest. So the school says to me, I said, you want that bed out here? And I went, "Well, where am I going to fucking put in this place?" He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, you maybe think of something." I said, "Well, am I allowed a bed?" And he went, "Well, I don't see why no, Johnny." So I ordered the van bed. I said to my family and my friends, "But you're going to get me a divan bed?" And they went, "You fucking having a laugh?" I went, "No." And I didn't want the divan bed after I got it. And I went, "Fuck, it's taking up too much room in the cell. Can the cell's only that big, Melanie?" And I went, "No, fuck that." I said, "Get me a corner unit, no need corner suites." No. And my mum went, "You is that what you're wanting?" I went, "Yeah, but there were also pulled down beds there." And I went, "Fuck, I can do practically what I want in here." So I've actually wallpapered, I've got the wallpaper up, me and my pal, and our prisoner, me and Bally, me guy, he died in a unit, a great wee boy on her. Bally was in for murder in a pal of mine in the gangland fight, you know what I mean? Fucking off, so I must have mixed up. Anyway, I say to my pals, my wee crew for Airdrie, I went, I fancy a fireplace. And they went, "What kind of fireplace, Johnny?" I went, "I don't know, it's a nice brick fireplace where I could fucking stick an electric fire in there. I can use fucking cells of freezing. Because there's no pipes in these cells. I know what there's no pipes in this part of the prison." So the wee crew for Airdrie come up, and they've got all this facing brick. And they've built this fireplace. It looked really nice when they first done it. And an electric fire and fucking plugged in and like to be glow, you know what I mean? Just sitting there. And then decided I didn't want the fireplace, so I broke this thing up with a fucking mallet and shortened it and put it against the short wall rather than against the big wall, and it looked a lot better. Then I said, "I could be doing my mirror." And so the governor said, "But you're what?" I said, "I could be doing my mirror." "Yeah, we'll call a meeting," he says, "and see if you can get one." So I called a special meeting, and I said, that cell's too wee. I said, "It looks too small to me." I said, "So I'd like to order a mirror so that I can put it on my cell wall below the windows and make the place look fucking spacey." I thought they were going to chase me and knock me back. He says, "Yeah," he said, "well, we're okay, where are you going to get the mirror?" And I went, "I don't know, I need to order it." I went, "Well, you want to do that, it makes you happy and it makes you feel settled in. And just carry on, I don't see any reason why not." So I phones this shop in the Gallowgate Gate in Glasgow, these guys that selling mirrors. So I've got the measurements, and I don't know, maybe fucking 6 feet by 6 feet by 4 feet. And the guy went, I said, "I need a mirror," and I said, "And this is the sizes." And I says, "And I also need 4 holes drilled in it." And he's like, "Ah," I said, "that's not a problem." He says, "Just give me your address." I went, "HM Prison in Berlin," and he said, "I said, we've got a fucking widow on the phone here." He says, I said, I'm being serious. He went, "Fuck off, I'm fucking fanning you." And I went, "No, look," I said, "I'm fucking being serious with you." I said, "There's a jail number, phone this number, and it'll take you through to the governor." I said, and the governor explained to you. I said, "No," I said, I'm in a wee unit here. And he's like, "Really?" So they phoned the governor, and the governor went, "Aye, that's right, he's wanting a mirror in." And they came up and they fitted the mirror. So anyway, I didn't really like this fucking, I didn't really like this fireplace by this time. I went shoddy up. So my old pal, old Dan Fierd, the old godfather, he says, "You want a nice fireplace, Johnny?" Now, I mean, I don't want a brick one. I say that it just takes up too much room. And I meant to bring you the photographs to show you this. Actually, James English has got the photograph and to show you this photograph of me sitting in my cell with a fucking stolen Adam's fireplace. The fireplace had lain my pal's stash for long enough. So he says, "I can bring you a nice fireplace up, Johnny." He said, "But I need it back." He said, "It's fucking hot." He said, "You would do me a favour keeping it in here. Nobody would ever suspect it to be in here." And I went, "Yeah, fucking." I said, you for real? And he went, "Yeah." So they brought this big Adam's fireplace up the stove for a baronial house in fucking Ireland. They're all the time and they're wheeling and dealing. What a fucking fireplace it was. So anyway, I decided I don't want a bed anymore. I decided I'm going to build a bed on my ceiling. You know, that much away from my ceiling, and put it on runners, king size bed, and that way I could have a lot more room. And I've also got a CB in it this time. My pal's got me on a CB, so I'm in contact. The CBs were all I go at the time.
Radios.
The CB yeah. radio, aye. So I'm called the Glaswegian, that's my handle. And I used to communicate with every country, my jail cell that was all gallivanting about all the country. So about the king size bed on the ceiling, and as I say, James English has got the actual photograph of me sitting at this big Adam's fireplace. So I decided I didn't like the colour of the fucking fireplace. I've also built a false floor. You walk in my cell, down there's a wee hall, and there's a it rises up again, and there's a trap door in there, you know, for stashing stuff, and. So I've got all the wood all stained and varnished, a lovely rosewood. No, it's kind of cheery and I can warm up, you know what I mean? But this fucking big iron fireplace, it was sitting there, man, like fucking, as if its fucking face was tripping it. It was dark and dreary. No, I went, "I don't like that fucking colour at all, man." I said, I'll sort that out. So I've got the sander out, and I blasted this fucking right back to the bare wood. I don't know, it's worth a fucking fortune. I blasted the thing back to its bare wood. And put the stainer on it, the rosewood stainer, and the varnish. So Dan, the man's come up. He's come up to see me. Could you see it here? They've done the cell up. And he's been looking up, and he's going, "Fucking wow, is that a fucking clever idea, Johnny?" And his wee eyes were rubbing about the room, and they fell on the fireplace, and they went, "What the fuck?" She's a big, bright red fucking Adam. Suddenly turned. He's went, "Fucking hell, Johnny!" He said, "You fucking devalued it, you crazy bastard, you." Anyway, that's the way I had the unit. And you can have your visits in your cell. You could go in behind your cell, but you can't lock the door. The screws lock the door big, so you can't lock your door over. But you can go in behind your cell door. We had holes drilled in behind your cell door, and we put an iron bar down so nobody could come into your cell and you're in there with your girlfriend or your wife. You've fucking been there from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And most people, to be quite honest, it was fucking partying. There was a lot of partying, you know. And I mean, the cunts were going in there sober and got steaming drunk. Because we didn't get searched. We says we don't want my fucking family to be humiliated and searched at all. This place runs on trust. And then that's the way it should be. But fucking, you might see the stuff that was going on. Fucking Jesus Christ, man. So anyway, this cunt that's killed me, midget, this maniac.
The maniac.
So he's got this lassie that he's dug up somewhere out of one of the student visits, because students and people came from all over the world, and he just walked about this fucking place as if it was a museum. And it really did, you know what I mean? But he had to write in and get permission, and we never really knocked anybody back. And so this adjo, this kind of killing me midget, he's gone with his lassie. And you know, fucking God love us, he shouldn't be writing the fucking heat to fucking patch up with this, you know what I mean? Because he was fucking seriously old, agile. So the talk was, before I got there, he was there, and they said, "Look, you can't have this cunt down here, he's a fucking me, I'll end up kidnapping somebody." And they just shrugged it off, you know?
Mm.
So anyway, 8:45, I was walking out my cell with my girlfriend. lassie, I was engaged to you. Lassie called Maggie Shoes. Great lassie. And Maggie says to me, there's something going on, Johnny. And I went, how? And she went, have you just seen what's happened there? The big maniacs walked by with two big steak pies and totties, two plates of steak pies and potatoes and peas. And he's went in behind his cell door and he shut the fucking door over. And it's 8:45, so the visitors are leaving 5 minutes. So I'm like, never, man. So I go see this fucking crackpot spy hole. And he's fucking screaming like, oh, fucking. And he's only got a wee teeny, teeny forehead this side, but he's fucking shudders over here. And he looked the strangest guy you've ever seen. And he's got a big dagger at this fucking, at this lassie's throat.
No.
I also, this kid's throat. Any cunt comes in here, I'll fucking butcher her. I'll fucking chop her up. And you're like, never, man. So we are thinking, this cunt's going to shut this fucking whole place down. And so the screws come in, screws. What's happened, Johnny? I'm fucking trying to kick. There's no chance of kicking his fucking door in because his lock's sprung and it's completely locked. And I say, you better open that cunt's door. He's kidnapped that lassie. And the screw's like, never is he. And I went, yes. Open the fucking door. And he's like, no, I can't. It's the fucking prison rules. If there's a hostage, we need your whole place in lockdown. You need to get behind yourself. I said, I'm not fucking. You want me behind yourself, door? That's fucking maniac. Fucking kill that lassie. No fucking happening. Open the fucking door and then we'll deal with the rest of it. So after a bit of persuasion and fucking threatening to kick off, the screws put his key in the lock and popped the big brass handle down. And as he's holding the brass, we're kicking the door. All we need to do is budge that fucking door an inch so we can bang a lock again and the lock will spring out. And he's no locked in with the kid there. Anyway, this fucking maniac shouting, oh, fucking kill her, kill her, he's off. And the poor lassie's fucking screaming. So there's me and Bobby Brody, the guy who was telling me about that was fighting the governor and slashing each other. And there's old Donald Ford, the guy who was in the death row back in the 50s and got a reprieve because he married the lassie. And he's old and fucking and decrepit, you know. So you couldn't really expect much of him. There's another guy called Willie Bennett. So Willie's doing a double life art. He was doing life on Peterhead when he murdered a prisoner on Peterhead and he ended up with a double life art. So we're fucking smashing his door and the screws are, all the visitors are all fucking getting hustled out the door. The screws are in a fucking, near in a severe panic. So we're fucking, because of where we are, we've got access to tools that only trustees could normally get a hold of, you know, fucking drills and fucking big iron bars and mallets, and because we're all doing different kind of work, sculpting and fucking, you know, every kind of tool was there for you. So we're smashing this bastard's door with these fire extinguishers and fucking big scaffolding pole, and every time we get the scaffold, we're all pushing against the scaffolding pole and getting the door right now. He's still fucking threatening murder. And he fucking widow killed her, that bastard. You know, we went out with him out. And we get in there and invite them and we're lettered the cunt. We fucking kicked them up and down the cell, but that poor lassie, we got her out. And the screws try to get us back in. They said, right, that's it, he's out. Get him to fuck. They put him back in the mainstream of the jail into the punishment block. They were like, boys, in your cell. And I went, cell, fuck all. Fucking calling a special meeting. He went, it's fucking back at 12 o'clock at night, Johnny. I went, give a fuck. Calling a special meeting. Everybody can't get in here. So we attended a special meeting. And I was like, but this time, this screw, this guard called Yogi, he's got the lassie, he's got her hustled out the door into his car and away we are. So, and the talk is that they're shutting the fucking special unit down, right? And I went, really? Fucking, well, you know what? If it's going to shut the unit down, we've got to go back. We'll just go back to our old fucking way. So it didn't fucking matter, fuck. And if anyone's going to shut the unit down, it'll be fucking us, because you ain't seen nothing yet. So anyway, they called the big meeting the next day and everybody attended, a psychiatrist, a guy called Dr. Peter Wormore, who created the Villainy Special Unit, you know, and got all the credit for the Villainy Special Unit. And every guard that worked the special unit, but the guardians of their shift had to come there and attend. This was a fucking serious meeting, yeah. This is a serious situation. The governor's like, that's the end of it. I don't give a fuck. There have been all more visits taking place in the cell block area. And I went, really? Yes, fucking really. And I went, you know what? He was all just taking us all back to the mainstream of the prison then. I said, because that's where we're going to fucking end up. The fuck do you think you are? You're fucking in here. You should be in the fucking jail of language. How should I be? I said, where's the lassie? What happened to that fucking girl that was kidnapped by that fucking maniac? The big knife at her throat. The same cunt already cut a midget up. Chopped him into wee fucking bits. Yous took the lassie. And you fucking dragged her out and took her into your car and took her home and left her to her own devices. And the lassie wasn't right in the fucking head. That's why she ended up with that fucking fool in the first place. And you're fucking telling me you're going to fucking stop the visits. I said, yeah, you'll be going to the fucking jail of language. You're fucking doing nothing, Hector. And that was the only way I saved the unit from getting shut down, because I had them out of the barrel, because they should have reported the matter to the police first and foremost, or probably the fucking to a doctor first and foremost. That last year should have been taken to a hospital for a fucking medical checkup. She should have went to see a psychiatrist or psychologist for any fucking serious fucking psychological damage to be locked up in a fucking cell with a maniac. And they just fucking let the lassie go. And then that's what kind of saved the unit. But anyway, after that, and I thought, you know what, these cunts are just as bad as us. They can do it for themselves, because they were down there and they were getting all the glory for helping the poor prisoner who was fucking once after he'd and now they're on the fucking mend, and they were getting a lot of the glory for helping out. And a lot of them were genuine. You know, some of the guys were genuine, but some were just fannies. So I'm like, you know what, fuck this. So I'm pally with Bally. Me and him are at the same ages. Bally's down there. He's in the special unit. He had enough. He cracked up. We fell and cracked. He was in for murdering a pally of mine. Yeah, and I became pally with him. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking strange the way it works out, you know, but yeah. So Bally's got two big daggers, homemade shanks, you know, serious fucking things, and he's got them strapped to both of his arms, and we're talking back to Peterhead, and he's jumped out and done one of the guards. So that's why wee Bally ended up there. And wee Bally was very, very deep. He was a great guy, you know, he's a fucking beautiful guy, he was a great nature. And just having a fucking chance to grow up with his teens, because still, we were all brought up in the preschools schools and borsals and young offenders, so we were all still kind of young, fucked up in the head, never got that chance to mature. I mean, unless you were getting an education off of some sensible con that could help you out. So anyway, we decide we're going to pollute the jail with drugs, me and me Bally, because we get fed, we'd all our own food, we'd our own fridges, and our own cooker. So any food that came out for the mainstream of the prison, which had to come out every day, regardless of what you were eating in there at Dundee Blank of the prison, they still had to send this food over, but they sent it over raw. And it was not you if you want to eat it or took it back. So when they brought the dixies in through the back door, there was no prisoners allowed in for the outside unless it was a hairdresser or something. So me and me Bally's got here and I said, well, we've got a chance to meet ourselves a wee earner here, Bally. And he went, how's that? And I went, we could start polluting the fucking jail. We don't. We hash. We just smuggle all the visitors and get shirts. We would just bring all the hash in. And when they come to the back door to take the dixies away, we can get it arranged that the parcels are in there. And that's exactly what we've done. And there was mere wheeling and dealing, skullduggery going on in that bunny special, you know, what there was in the fucking Glasgow barrels on a Sunday afternoon. And of course, Big Blink came up one time. He was Pally. Him and Bally were sick. And so everybody's doing their wee bits and bob, putting stuff in. And it wasn't just Blenny prison that was going to put it, because there was parcels going to put through into Blenny that was getting fucking, that was getting 10 elsewhere, different prisons over Scotland. Because like I say, none of your visitors were allowed to be searched. Yeah. And Blink was supplying Bally, and Blink came up with a TV with the inside works on it. It was packing with hash. He took out the Bally, because we were allowed TVs back in the day then, because we were in a special unit. So anybody who was bringing things up, we furniture vans at the door and fucking couches coming in, they were always packing. And the same applied with drink. The place was always full of drink. The guy was telling me earlier on, David Cochran. David tried to attack one of the screws. Him and Big John Gallagher, two corkers that they were in for in the Celtic Butcher and the Gallowgate in Glasgow during the robbery. So they've kicked off one night and fucking They've let loose with the screws, and fucking the screws have gotten them, apprehended them, and I've tossed them out of the unit. Because you really couldn't strike a blow in the unit, because it was dangerous. You get fucking kicked out the foot of cheap route, you know what I mean? You couldn't answer to it. Hit one of the screws in your route. So anyway, they get kicked out. And the next morning, fucking screws called, the governor's called a special meeting. That's it. All visitors will be searched. And I went, and how is this now? They found 30 odd empty bottles of liquor under Davy Cochran's bed. You know, fucking vodka bottles, whiskey bottles. And the governor's like, this is not happening. As far as we were concerned, he was a hatchet man for the prison department. He was sent down to close the place. You know what I mean? Because they had an idea of what kind of skullduggery was going. Anyway, he's like, that's it, no more visitors will be searching. Nobody fucking searching any of your fucking visitors. It's not going to happen. You know, right, you better get a taxi and get us fucking back to Beaton. We just run him up. So we had them over a barrel. So that was the kind of scenes that was in the Bellini special. And, you know, and fucking, and I'll tell you who else used to come up regular, and he liked a good swally. Mark McManus, Taggart, you know, we used to get a lot of, you know, Mark McManus.
Wrestling.
No, you're thinking of Mick McManus. Oh. Mark McManus, the guy who he Taggart.
Taggart.
The copper programme, the okay. Scottish programme. Yeah. And he liked to write good swally. He used to come up, we used to quite a lot of the film stars come up. We had some fucking, we were just gangsters with talent, so we drew a lot of an attention. We kind of, people who was involved in the arts and the crafts and film industry. So, and it was always good to have a cocktail bar, and that's why I had the false flair in my cell in Blenny that I was telling you about. It's always good to have a cocktail bar, but not to rip the ass out of it. You had to be in moderation. You couldn't just get everybody up and start getting them off for drugs, which did happen quite a lot. Good cunts, fucking visitors were falling downstairs, steaming drunk, and he's singing out the door, I belong to Glasgow. What the fuck's happening? But that was the kind of place, the special one it was. So, there comes a time now, you say to me, right, Johnny boy, he says that, I've got to do a parole report on you. And we're talking, what, 1980? I'm talking none about this time now. 1988. 1986. 88, sorry. I went, all right, you really? And he went, yes. I says, well, how the fuck am I getting a parole report done? I says, I'm still doing my 12-year sentence. He went, no. He says, you've done your 12-year sentence. And I went, really? I said, my 12-year sentence finishes in 1986. I said, but because I lost 4 years of mission, I said, it now comes up to 1988. No, 1990. With the four years of mission. I said, and I got a 3 years on top of that to run on expiry of the present sentence. And I lost a year's of mission on the 3 year, even though I've no fucking started the sentence yet. I said, so I'm not up to 1993. He went, no, he says, the Secretary of State for Scotland has accumulated your sentences, Johnny. I went, who the fuck does he think he is? He's not got any fucking more power than a High Court judge. I said, for what reasons? He says, for purpose you'd have taken remission from you. I went, I don't give a fuck. I said, I'm not doing 16 fucking years. I'm doing 12 years. 3 years, 4 months, 4 months, 60 days. And the 3 years is to run on expiry of the present sentence. So you telling me that I've done the 12-year, so that was up 2 years ago, and I've done the 2-year after 3-year sentence, it is now up 4 days, 4 months, 4 months, and 60, just up behind that. That's right, Johnny. I went, so why the fuck am I sitting here then? He says, you're doing your remission. You're now serving your remission. I went, so what was my last sentence? He went, 60 days. I went, how can you get 5 years of remission in a fucking 60-day sentence? I said, you're having a fucking, you better get that fucking governor down here. So we called a meeting, and they're demented, and the screws are saying, he's fucking right. We're fucked up. This guy's fucking right. And he's saying, no, I said, fuck you, in the Secretary of State. So I say to the guard, go and bring over
it shows you sentence how it's going to be
aye
served. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. So I says, go and you and get them, you bring your my You bring you the warrants. I want to see the fucking warrants. Get the warrants over here. So he's come here and he's went, you're fucking right. I said, I fucking know I'm right. I said, I've got a great memory. The old judge says to me, the 12 years, the 3 years will run on the expiry of the 12-year sentence. I said, so therefore, if you're telling me that I've not done this, that my 12 years is finished a couple of years ago, I'm now wanting my 3 year, the 2 years off that. So you're taking the year off of that, the 4 months, 4 months, 60 days. You can't hold me on my last sentence of 60 days for 5 years. So they were all humming and hawing, and I went, nah, I know what, fuck this. So I'm on the CB. I've got the crew, and I went, listen, I need you doing your serious situation here. Need your help. So I'm like, okay, so they popped in the ones that mattered, you know, the team, you know what I mean? And of course, they took one back out to the rest of the crew. And this was the plan. I say, listen, guys, I say, these fuckers have messed me about. I said, they're trying to detain me on 5 years remission on a 60-day sentence. That's what they were all protesting. They were all protesting through in Edinburgh at the Home Office. Johnny Steele was detained illegally. And fucking free Johnny Steele this and free Johnny Steele that. So anyway, I got the crew and I went, oh, this is the plan. So my girlfriend, Lassie, my fiance, Maggie Shoes, lovely lassie, I got engaged to Maggie and the Blondie Special with the big party, you know. And I think we had 60 visitors at the party with friends and family. All fire. So anyway, I said, Maggie, this is what, I've got a problem. I said, I'll need to strike back. I said, I'm not letting these guns away with us. So she said, what is it you want me to do? And I went, there's three ways into this fucking prison. One is through the courts. The other is through the big double gates, and the other one's the visitor's door for the schools and the visitors to come in. I says, I need them blocked. I says, so would you help me? She said, well, I'm waiting for you, Johnny. I said, would you super glue your finger under the big sliding steel gate for me? She went, yeah, I'll do it for you. And my pal, another fella, and I went, would you deal with the other door? I said, he stripped off. They're super gluing them all under here, not on the back here, and he's back. And he's super glued to this fucking door that opens in the way. So they can't get the door open. So I know when they're striking. So we're talking 4:30 in the morning, right outside Blaney, prison. And so they've locked him at the car park. They've locked him up in vans and whatever. So the screws can see that something's gone down and they're on edge. So they walk him out of the car park and somebody's wearing balaclavas and fucking and whatever. And so the first thing was priority was to get Margaret to super glue her fingers under the big sliding door that were in, you know, fucking big 5-ton fucking door, big steel door. And my pal done his back to the other door. So I'm lying to myself. I'm incommunicado. I've got the CB. I'm up in the fucking top of the bed with the CB. I'm organised. So I'm on the phone. I'm on the CB to Daniel. Now Daniel's like, that's it. It's done, Johnny. He said, the fucking place is black with coppers. He said, fucking a lot of places. He said, the fire brigade's coming and the paramedics. So the screws keep in my door when I'm talking to Daniel. And I'm, well, fuck them. I said, well, fuck them. You're like fucking play tag. We'll fucking see how tough they are. You're fucking going to hold me on a fucking 5 year sentence, on a 60-day fucking sentence. You know what I mean? 5 years of mission. So anyway, the screws came to my door, one of the guards in the special, and he said, what the fuck's happening, Johnny? I went, I'm on the CB. I said, what the fuck's happening? She fucking saw it in a minute down your door. She fucking know what's happening. I fucking told you I wasn't going to accept this. He's like, we can't get out. The day chef can't get out, and the night chef can't get out of jail. And the day shift can't get in. So we shut the whole fucking deal down for 3 years. And then they brought the prison minister into me. And he said, fucking hell, Johnny. He said, we need to work something. He says, oh, he said, would you like to go to an open prison? I went, nah. I said, he said, as of now, he says, 6 weeks from now, he says, you could be in an open jail. He says, and 3 weeks after that, you could have a home leave for 5 days for Christmas. And that will be my first home leave. Yeah. So I couldn't refuse. I couldn't refuse the fucking the offer. They threw me out of jail. They almost just fucking tossed me to the fucking door. But that's what we done, mate. We blocked the whole money off, and they put a D notice on it. So other reporters were there, but nothing was ever reported on the matter. So anyway, I makes my way to the open prison, fucked up as I was, made it out there, and now in a position to try and help old Joseph. Because I've told Joseph I'm going to help him to break out. So I get out eventually, full time release. I get 2 years remission back after him, or 18 months, whatever it was. So I've already organised a demonstration for old Joseph while I was in the Blenny, especially with the same crew who organised the super glue in the lakes with myself. So we got Joe when he was on home leave. Remember that, Robert? He was on home leave, and we got him out my ma's house and not going to the roof. Joseph was actually on the roof in the housing scheme, protesting. You know, first time ever. Usually prisoners go on the roof in the jail. So anyway, they got him been and whatever. So we organised another escape from him. He's got another home leave. Ma's really know well. And we've got Joseph away. We've got him in the car and fucked off. We've got him right down to London. And the trick was to bring the attention, bring to the attention of the public, not so much worldwide, but countrywide. Scotland was just a no-no. So we had to take Joe's fight further afield. Big TC, he's on hunger strikes. He's fighting his case for against the conviction that they were fitted up with the fucking the serious crime squad in Glasgow. So the plan was we'd take Joseph down to the palace gates, Buckingham Palace, and super glue him to the palace. And handcuff him to the palace. But we also had a T-shirt made for Joseph, and it was the crucifixion, Jesus on the cross, and the way we super glued Joseph was like the crucifixion, you know, both hands out and super glued, and of course this big T-shirt he had on. We got it made specifically for this demonstration. So I'm like, Joseph, it's got to be done, pal. We know we've really got to hit this hard. It's no nice to come in the run and have to hunt yourself in. I know it's really, really hard, pal, but we're up against the heaviest team whatever our life we come up against. Fucking government, mate. And these cunts can destroy us like that, and they can't even bat an eye. I say, so we really need to fucking embarrass these cunts. We really need to take the fight back and let the public know this ain't fucking happening. You know, we're not accepting this. And I say, and go for it, Joseph. I say, no, I promise you, brother, I'll fucking come up and break you to any jail that you want. I said, but just pull this master stroke, and that's exactly what he done. And it was in fucking a front page of every newspaper all Britain. Brilliant photographing him. But anyway, the coppers have all turned up, didn't they? And this copper, a London copper with a big copper hat on. I've seen a cracking photo of him and all. He's looking at the old Joe like that. And their noses are almost touching. He's looking as if he can't even believe. But the guy made the report later on saying, yeah, he's Joe Steele was actually as good as gold. But they've got the bolt cutters and they go to cut the handcuffs. And they think they're going to pull Joseph off the gate. But we're saying, here, he's fucking super glued. So they need to wait in the ambulance, the paramedic. Somebody said the pin was keeping out our window. One of them or a commotion. So anyway, having said all done, he goes back. They were flying him back to Scotland on the plane, but the pilot refused to have him on the plane. So I don't want him on the plane in case he tries to fucking jump out a window and kills us all. So they drove him back home. And so I've organised another visit for him. Hey, Joseph, what do you want me to do? How are we going to, what's the best angle for you to get out? So he knows how he's going to escape from the inside. And all I need to do is come up and bear the damage on the outside. So at this spot, he's out in the football field. And he says, I can get away, Johnny, and I can get down there the embankment and through the fence and down there the fucking air the river, air this fucking canal or whatever it was. He says, I just need the fence cut. Right, okay, so we've organised that. We've got, a couple of the crew. Big fella called John Linton. Big John ended up getting whacked fucking, well, for whatever reason being. It wasn't nice. You know, he was one of the crew and he was one of the campaigners. He helped to fight to get old Joseph out. So he ended up getting whacked years on. But this time, me and Bob John's up and we've cut the fence. So we're waiting in a specific time. We're just waiting the guys come out for a recreation period. And this big fucking 30 feet wire mesh fence. This, all prisons have got the top of the barbed wire. So we've got an L shape. So I'm lying in wait, me and my pal, and I've got the binoculars. So I'm lying in this fucking field, and I can see hundreds of cons. I can see them all come out. There's fucking 300, 400 cons in the football field. And I recognise some of them for the old jail. So I went, right, okay, there they are, man. So the next time we hear this siren, and my pal, Big John Linton's like, Johnny boy, listen. And I went, what? And I said, he says, sirens. And he says, I think they cunts are onto us. And I went, nah. I said, if that was the case, the whole jail would have been locked down. I said, make no mistake about that. So anyway, see, we get closer. He went, please, Johnny, can we just go and check it out? And I went, fuck. I said, come on then. Just to satisfy ourselves, let's fucking go. So we found out that the prison guard club had been robbed. And that's why the coppers were there to investigate. I'm talking about 7 o'clock at night here. So we get back to the same spot. Now I'm lying there with the fucking binoculars. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening, man? Because it didn't seem to be any movement. I don't know. It seemed like an eternity, but it must have only been about 20 minutes or so, half an hour. And I see this figure darting. And I was like, oh, fucking nice one. I've got the binoculars up. Like a belter, there he goes. And I'm like, hold on, what the fuck is that, man? I said, what the fuck is that? And Big John's like, I don't know. I've never seen that cunt in my life. And I went, let me fucking, I see, oh, this is him this time. And I went, yes. Now on you go, bro. And I went, as the fuck, that's no him either. And I went, what's going on here, man? And we're sitting there, I went, it's going to be this cunt this time. This is going to be your Joe. And it fucking wasn't, it was another con. So I went, we better get to fuck, man. I said, they're fucking for all fucking jail escapes. So we've jumped in and into the car, and we're driving, because we don't know what the fuck's happened to Joe. So we're driving along the road about maybe a couple hundred yards maybe a quarter of a mile for the jail. And I went, pull over, because I seen this con that he had a jail attire on, and I could tell it was the jail clothing, and he's fucking soaking because he's come through this burn. So I went, here, pal. I said, I'm Johnny boy, Joseph, but where the fuck is he? And he went, we give him half an hour start, Johnny. I went, fucking having a laugh. I said, when? He went, oh, half an hour ago. So when we went to investigate the coppers, fucking five of them escaped. I'm dropping cunts half over Edinburgh. Any chance of getting a laugh, mate? And the next day in the papers, it was saying it was the biggest mass escape in modern times. Yeah. But any kind of things all helped, and we end up on an island. Me and Joseph won't end up on the McCormack Islands, kind of some of the bits of them are uninhabited. And we contacted a wee crew that I knew that done a documentary on the Bellini Special net back in the day. And I was like, listen, I've got old Joe here. I says, do you fancy coming on board? Because the country's loving it by this time. Because fucking I've got Joe doing as the tartan pimpernel, the fucking. With escapes and that, they could, we don't know whether he's going to turn up next, you know what I mean, or what the next stroke is. So, they're like, yeah, Johnny, fucking true. So they followed us about for weeks, this crew. We're fucking, the coppers are kicking doors in all of Scotland, all the housing schemes and all the families of friends, and we Joe's out on an island with the fucking BBC crew. So, but once we'd felt we'd done enough for Joseph. The trick then was, what are we going to do now, Joseph? How are we going to get you back in? Do you fancy breaking into Stockton? Do you fancy going back up and break in the way you broke out? I said, we'll give you a stall saw and just fucking slash the gate and wait till the boys out in the football park and just walk in and I'll have the VTV crew here for you. He's like, aye, okay. But then later on that evening, as we got closer to the time to do what we're going to do, Russell felt ill. And I think it was God, he knew he was fucking, his time was up and he was going to have to hunt himself back in again. And it was fucking sad, you know, my poor bra, you know. But it had to be done. It really had to be done, as you can see where I'm coming from, because we were fighting the biggest gang in the fucking world. And the only way you can fucking beat these guys is to embarrass them, you know what I mean? So anyway, Joseph feels he can't go no further. And I'm like, fucking hell, Joe, man. What do you want to do? So we've got our heads together. What about Bellini? You fancy breaking into Bellini? It's just on the fucking corner. We're in Duke Street. We're only half a mile from Bellini. So Joe's like, yeah, fuck, I can go for that one. And TC's holding press conferences, unprecedented press conferences, and he's selling Bellini because he's fighting his case as well. And he's on the bandwagon. Big Tommy's on the ball because Joe's out in the fucking, he's out on the loose and getting all this fucking memento, all this publicity that's fucking gathering memento throughout the whole fucking country and beyond. So we went, fuck it, right, okay, we'll go for that one. And that's exactly what we've done. So we're all in the house together, my man, sisters and brothers and the friends that are involved, all the guys throughout the years that helped with the campaign, my own campaign and Joseph's, you know. And we're all fucking, we're crying, you know what I mean? We're all wiping the tears and laughing and fucking hugging. And now I'm like, don't worry, Joe, we'll get you back out again. You know, not been for long, we'll be back up, we'll have you out soon. So anyway, we decide, fuck it, it's Bellini's getting up. So Joe and I, all the other visitors, all the other family and friends, sorry, and they're going to head up to Bellini behind me and Joseph. They're going up in the convoy because they're van loads and fucking car loads. They've all got banners and fucking placards. And so me and Joseph hailed a black hack in Duke Street, and I've jumped in. Me and John, I went, take us up to Bellini, pal, will you? And he went, aye, I said, no problem. He said, Whereabouts in Berlin are you going? Are you going to the unit? And I went, no. I said, no, just up to bar, mate. Just wrap me off halfway up. I said, I've got to meet somebody and wrap my brother a bit further. So like, I'm looking at the guy and his mirror, you know, he's driving and I'm looking, I'm saying, I know that guy's fucking face is somewhere. And the guy says, just rolling up hell, and the guy says, do you ever hear what happened to that wee Joe Steele? And I said, last time I heard a section of my escape from Sockton, I went, no, I've not got a fucking clue, mate. So I'm nudging Joe, not to say nothing. I know the guy's face and I can't place it, so I don't know if he's a fucking cop or whatever. And I'm like, Joe, say fucker. I mean, I've not got a clue, pal. He says, I had a cousin that was in Bellini. And I went, oh, really? And he went, aye. He went, Jimmy Boyle. And that's when I recognised, I went, fucking hell, he looks like Jimmy. So it was Jimmy Boyle's cousin. It was Jimmy Boyle wrote the Sense of Freedom.
I read his book, yeah, it's good.
So I was like, fucking never, but I still didn't take him on. So I went, Joe, throw the guy the £20 note when you get to your gate. So outside the Bellini gate, there's a piling. You know, I don't know, maybe about fucking 25 feet, 30 feet, with a camera on it. And that's where Joe headed, right up the top of the piling outside the massive gates of Bellini. So we broke him out of Sockton and fucking broke him back into Bellini effectively.
I've never heard anything
the thing is, Sean, fucking it worked. We got, it was a long fucking fight, but yeah, by God, they fucking suffered. Tommy Campbell and Joe suffered. My mother suffered. Joe's fucking family suffered. We all suffered as a family to lose a brother or a son or whatever to the fucking serious crime squad. We wanted to just fit anybody up willy-nilly and hope to fucking gain a conviction and get results and get pats in the back for solving the biggest mass murder in modern times in British history. So, you know, they never got any justice. Neither did the poor Doyle family, Mrs. Doyle. He never got any justice. And one of the coppers that was involved in the case, one of the serious crime coppers was involved in their case, when the investigation was going on, he stuck a fucking hose pipe for the exhaust pipe right in the fucking back of his gullet and wiped his cell out. Another one keeled over. So we had them on the ropes. And you know, it was brilliant. I'm fucking quite happy to say it. I loved every minute of it. But I did sad moments as well, you know. But we set out today what we've done. We fought the fucking law and the wrong one, and we won. We fought the law and we won. And that applies to anybody. Anybody should be able to, or should be expected to sit back and accept that kind of extreme fucking treatment for the police officers who are meant to fucking police the country and protect us. You know what I mean? And they just kind of get away with doing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, power to you.
So, and all I can say is, I'm going home. I said, my bedtime, kid. I've been here for God knows how long.
What happened to your brothers?
Brothers.
Yeah, your brothers.
Jim and Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're still out. Jim and
Okay.
Joseph's out. In fact, you'll find Jim and Joseph's podcast on the James English podcast
Okay.
on Google.
Cool.
And
And how many years is it now since you've been free? What was your last year in prison?
I've never really been free. I'm still fucking screwed up in the head, mate, to be
You're
honest with you.
a
Yeah.
very intelligent person to do all the things that you did.
Yeah.
Well, what was the year of your last release?
92.
92.
Yeah.
And what made you start writing? Because I've been reading this book, The Bird That Never Flew. I highly recommend it. Such a skilled writer. Is this available on Amazon worldwide, is it? Or
Yeah, that's a hardback version. It's now in paperback.
paperback? Have
Yeah.
you got a Kindle version? Have you got an
No, I've
ebook? Have
not
you
done
got a...
anything like that yet. No, I've just done the.
So ebook and audio book is what we need to work with
Yeah.
to get you in all the different formats. I can help you with that. Yeah, I'd like to help you with that, man. You've come in here. I've never sat here so quiet during a podcast, and that is because your stories were just so gripping. I've been on the edge of the seat nonstop, just like fucking hell, what is he gonna do next all the way through this? And really appreciate you guys coming all the way down from Glasgow. And I'm actually gonna be doing some events up there at the end of March, April. I'm doing a TED talk at a university just north of Edinburgh. I've asked funding if they could set me up for a talk in Edinburgh and Glasgow. I'm gonna do one in Newcastle and Sunderland. And I'll put the link to that in the description box below this video. This video will be up. So if people up there want to come and see me do a talk up there. Is there anything else you've got out there that you would like people to look at online or anything like that? Anything, any way people could help you who are watching this video?
Well, I don't know if I explained to you before when I always had a talent for writing and singing and songwriting. That's what I wanted to do, yeah. And while I was in a Blenny Special Unit back then, I got permission for the Home Office to write and produce a play about my life back in the prison. And we had actors in, and we had musicians in, we had a producer in, a big fella called Barney Platts Mills, whose father was John Platts Mills, who defended the Craven way back in the day. And it all seemed to be going well. And the governor says to me, Johnny, we need a copy of the manuscript for the Home Office. If they're good enough to be going to let you to the recording studio and film this in here. So and I thought, there we go, man. This is the fucking end of that. I said, because once they see what we're writing about, they obviously can hear what we're singing about in the back. I said, but once they see what we're writing about, it's going to be a no-no. And that's exactly what happened. But we'd done a lot of filming in the special unit while this debate was going on about how my musical was looking the prison authorities. Making the prison authorities look bad. And, you know, my answer to that was, well, I can't even fucking make you look good. I can't even make myself look good. I'm only writing about things that happened in the hope that somebody else can appreciate it and maybe see it as a shortcut. You know, it's sometimes you can sit and you can talk, and it's no talking and bragging. It's just talking and telling the story as it is. But I do hope that it can be a shortcut for a younger generation. Or a generation of people there who think that's a great life. You know, the only great life we're ever going to have is if we fucking spend it on the other side of these walls, and we're happy with our lot. You know what I mean? Because other than that, if you think that that's a life, it's really a waste. You know what I mean? And
Yeah. When I was Googling you, there were some clips on YouTube of some like dramatization where
yeah,
the guards are bringing you, they got like the
yeah,
boiler suits on.
yeah.
What footage is that from?
That's moon footage for the musical Bloody Hell.
Okay.
So,
Was that you acting in that? They were carrying you up. Yeah, I thought so.
that kind of
Yeah.
thing happened in real life. I was on the port nearly every day for being disobedient, as in such. But when the governor would come in, the head warden would come in, they had to come in your cell every day of your own punishment. And you had to see a doctor every day if you were going to get punished. So they would come in and you know, and sarcastically they would say, "Morning, how are you?" And say, "Get yourself to fuck." And it would be, "Right, put him on report. You're on report for saying this and saying that to the governor. You know, you can get to fuck as well. You. And this went on for years. You know, I'm really sorry I got myself into that fucking mess, but you know what? I'm quite glad to see I can make my own peace, because I've seen some of my pals that's never really made it.
Yeah, I can
mentally,
imagine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
And it's quite sad, you know.
Definitely.
I don't know what got me through it. That's just the way I was born. I was fucking born in punishment.
Yeah. Reading your book and the early... We haven't even covered your early years, and I haven't even started to ask you questions, really. No. We could really do another podcast. Love to get the comments coming in, what people think about that. And I got another one of your buddies who has come out and he's doing good, though, is Blink. You know, he was down here.
I have a Blink guy.
And I really appreciate Blink referring me to you, yeah.
Yeah, Blink's a character, eh? He's one of the good guys, Big Blink. I mean, he's one of the guys that survived as well, with the memory intact. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you really need that memory intact. And you know, sometimes some of the people that's never been in much trouble as I've been in, having to go to fucking memory. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's not nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all jail related, you know what I mean? Whether you want to call it self-inflicted or prison abuse, that all stems from, I'm just fortunate that I've got a good memory.
Yeah.
I can mention all the school's names, by name, every nickname.
I noticed that.
I can tell you what size of shoe they took.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you've enjoyed this podcast and you want to see more about Johnny, then James English, he's got a podcast and he's interviewed Johnny, he's interviewed Blink. They're multi-hour podcasts. I highly suggest you go over and watch those interviews as well. James English, love what he's doing right now. He's invited me when I go up to Scotland to sit down with him, and he's going to interview me, so I'll be on his podcast as well. So yeah, come here, man. Give us a hug. Yeah.
Thanks, brother, for coming on. Cheers.